You know, the capacity that human beings have been given to remember is a marvelous thing, and God has asked us to remember some things that do affect our souls, not just here, but also in the hereafter. To remember a certain thing means that we recall it to mind. It means that we can think of it again and maybe even again long into the future. Now, there are some things, frankly, that I wish I could forget that I do remember. Some past mistakes, some embarrassing events, some sad moments. But we should never forget, neglect, or ignore the things which God has specifically said, remember this. That is so important that we need not neglect it. Solomon spoke to young adults in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 in verses 9 and 10. And he said, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." I thank God because he made us knew that men have the tendency to forget things and sometimes things they should never forget. We get to pursuing various courses in life. We pursue pleasures. We pursue work. We have things that come our way that are enjoyable and things that are not. But sometimes we allow those things to crowd out of our minds, things that should never be forgotten. And God wanted us to see the accountability that we have for our lives. For example, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in verse 1, he said, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Some, in looking at that passage, obviously addressed to a young person, whoever that might be, they were told to use the strength and the vitality of memory in their youth to remember their Creator, because he says, "The evil days are drawing near." Some think that the phrase "evil days" there is just an idiom for old age, that as you get older, there will be things that you will not recall as easily. Or you may forget the things that you really needed to remember that would have been useful and helpful and encouraging on dark days. And he said it may be that the only thing you remember when the evil days come is that I didn't have any pleasure in those days of my youth. Well, some of us remember more about our youth than others, and some of us sort of went through youth without thinking at all. And then it dawned on us one day that we were not young any longer, and the memories that we have of days gone by are sometimes not what we would like for them to be. I want us tonight to take a few moments to just think about some things the Lord wants us to remember, and this is not an exhaustive list because we don't have the time this evening to spend on every single thing God enjoins upon us for memory. But let's think for a few moments together about these things God wants us not to forget. The first of those things I want to suggest to you tonight is that God wants us to remember our accountability to him. I think when Jesus in the 17th chapter of Luke in verse 32 simply said, "Remember Lot's wife," he was calling to mind a biblical account to New Testament people, something that happened back in the days of Abraham when angels were ushering Lot and his family out of Sodom. You might remember that in the 19th chapter of Genesis and in verse 17, one of those angels said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains lest you be swept away." Jesus wants us to remember Lot's wife. And verses 24 through 26 of Genesis chapter 19 says, that the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife, speaking of Lot's wife, from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She failed to obey those angels. She looked backward rather than the destination that she was to be going toward. And so we're not to ignore God's commandments, because we're going to have to recall them. We're going to be accountable for them. And when God speaks, we need to listen. The fourth chapter of Hebrews, verses 12 and 13, says this: For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This perplexes some of us who can't remember what we had for breakfast today, and we're wondering how we will one day be able to give an account of the things that we've done in our lives. But that's God's end of the stick to whittle on. It will be God causing us to be able to call to memory all those things that we need to be able to give account of. But God wants us to remember, you will be accountable. The second thing I want to mention to us tonight is that we need to remember the days when God was not a part of our lives. For some of us, this is a little more difficult, because we may have been reared in families where we always had a mother and father who emphasized spiritual things. And from our earliest memories, we always thought about God. Although there was a time when we came to realize that just because my parents were godly people, that didn't mean I was. And I owed some duty to God personally. I didn't get in on the family plan. I had to do this all by myself. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, here's what Paul says to them. He says, Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He makes four statements about what they were before they came to know Christ. And he thinks they need to remember that. Now you might think, I might think, well, I need to forget about my life before I came to Jesus, because when I came to Jesus, that's truly when my life really began. But what happens if we don't remember from where we've come is that we don't appreciate where we are. We don't appreciate what we now have. Without Christ in our lives, we had no hope. Without Christ in our lives, we had no promises from God of an eternity with him. There is a real and profound difference between being in Christ and being out of Christ. And we need not forget the difference in those statuses. Paul kept this in mind, I think, personally. He remembered always the days when he had not come to Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you look at the 9th and 10th verses there, he says, For I am the least of the apostles, who am not even fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Paul wanted to remember what it was like before coming to Christ, because grace had made a difference in his life. And if he were to forget what his life was like before he accepted Christ, and if he were not to remember what it was like to be on the outside persecuting Christ, he would not nearly value what he had attained in Christ as he should. And I think that the scriptures are calling on you and me to remember the time when God was not in our lives. Now here's something that's very, very personal, but it's something that all of us need not to forget. Do you remember the day that you became a Christian when God washed your sins away? Do you remember the day that you were baptized into Christ? Do you remember the circumstances surrounding the decision that you made that compelled you at that moment in your life to be baptized into Christ? Now, occasionally I run into people who will be concerned about this, and they will say, well, I don't remember who was there. I don't remember even who it was that baptized me. Oh, they remember they were baptized, but there's some things incidental, I guess we might say, to their baptism that if they should forget it, it's not going to matter. If every person I've ever baptized into Christ can't remember that I was the one who administered baptism to them, that's not going to affect their eternal salvation, I assure you. They're not going to get into heaven because brother so-and-so immersed them. That's not vital and important information to retain. But what is vital and important information to retain is what compelled you to do that when you did it. Because it's impossible for someone to be baptized correctly who didn't know what they were doing when they did it, who were not rightly taught. You cannot be wrongly taught and rightly baptized. That just does not work. I think about the eunuch after his baptism for the forgiveness of his sins. He went on his way rejoicing. Don't you think that was a red letter day in his diary? Don't you think that that would be a day from that point forward that of all the days of his life, he would remember the day that he had his sins washed away? He wanted to live for God. He wanted to increase his love for the Lord. God wants us to change our lives and to grow spiritually, and our salvation should matter to us, and we should remember the day that we put on Christ. Peter once wrote of escaping the corruption of the world, and as a result of that, receiving some very precious and magnificent promises from God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He said, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail." How terrible if we should come to the point that we forget that we were cleansed from our former sins. That's just something a Christian cannot bear forgetting. You cannot let that slip from your mind. When people stop praying, when people stop reading their Bible, when people stop worshiping with the church, they are exhibiting that they have forgotten what God did for them when they were baptized into Christ, when they stop giving thanks, when they stop appreciating and expressing gratitude for the day that the Lord's blood cleansed them from their sins. There's no way forward for an unthankful person, for someone who is not being diligent to confirm his calling and his election, for someone who is so nearsighted that he only remembers what's up close, but he can't remember those things that were so significant and so important in his past. You know, the church at Ephesus kept meeting, and they kept worshiping, but they stopped loving God as they should have. Even though they continued to meet and even though they continued their worship. Here's what the Lord Jesus said to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, verse 4. He said, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember," he said, "therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." Outwardly, they were still doing all those things that churches do, but they stop loving the Lord while doing them, and they stop serving Him the way they first did when they had their sins forgiven. Being ignored grieves God, and the Ephesians needed to repent. The question is, do we need to repent of having forgotten the day we became Christians? Some of us will listen to God's message and be moved to act, and other people will hear, and they will remember it no longer than it takes them just to get out of the building, and they will go back to doing whatever they were doing prior to their hearing it. But James urged people in James chapter 1, verse 22, to prove yourselves doers of the word, not just hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. We must not do that. We must never forget from whence we've come. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, well, this man will be blessed in what he does. God's word teaches us how to live and how to treat others, and we need to determine not only to hear, but to do what God has called upon us to do. So don't forget the day that you had your sins washed away. Now, obviously, you've got to be remembering the Savior who saved you. You need to let Jesus and His life and His grace and His teaching fill your heart and your life. I want to say to you tonight that the thought of Jesus should never be very far removed from our minds. In fact, it would not be more than should be said if I were to tell you tonight that the thought of Jesus should never be on our minds. It should always be there. Jesus and what He means to us and why we do what we do and why we're living as we're living and why we've chosen what we've chosen is always something that should be kept in our thoughts. It would be impossible for a grateful child of God to compartmentalize Jesus over here in a little box all to himself that has nothing to do with every other thing he's doing in his life. The Hebrew writer urged the people to remain faithful and to endure whatever hardships they faced, he said, by looking to Jesus. After looking at all of the people who remained faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, he goes on in chapter 12 and verse 1, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Our eyes have to be fixed on Jesus constantly. He is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You need to consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself so that you do not grow weary or faint-hearted. Do you see how important it is to keep Jesus on our minds? If we take Jesus out of our thinking, if Jesus can be compartmentalized, as I said a moment ago, and He can be removed from our daily thoughts, our hourly thoughts, then we will grow weary. We will grow faint-hearted. We must never forget who has done what He has done for us and why we are doing what we're doing for Him. When you have a tough day, remember Jesus. When you're fighting temptation, remember Jesus. When the people all around you are putting you down because of your faith, remember Jesus. Just as Jesus endured the cross by focusing on His Father and by looking at the joy that was beyond the pain of the cross, so we can endure whatever challenge we face by focusing on Christ and the joy that He has set before us. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of his imprisonment, I think, never stopped thinking about Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. That's simple, isn't it? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. And for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And then in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 2, he told Timothy to remind them, that is the church, remind this church for whom you're preaching of these things. And we can do nothing more important than to concentrate on the life and on the teaching of Jesus Christ. But you know, further, besides Jesus, the scriptures tell us that we need to be remembering those who actually had a hand in teaching us the gospel. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews in verse 7, the scriptures say, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct, and imitate their faith. Now, he's speaking of these people in past tense, isn't he? It's almost as if these people, these leaders in their faith in Hebrews 13 and verse 7 are folks that have now passed on. They're no longer with them. And so he's saying to them, don't forget those people that invested themselves in you. You know, we are all debtors to somebody that brought us to Christ. We all owe somebody for having taken the time to teach us the gospel of Jesus. I don't care how old I get. I don't think I'll ever forget Sister Ora Mae Turner. I just don't think I'll ever forget her. She was the first woman that ever taught me the scriptures. My mother was not a Christian when I was a third grade boy. My grandmother was not a Christian when I was a third grade boy. But I went to a vacation Bible school and a lady had me come into her class. And I remember actually, probably because I didn't know how to behave, I was sitting on her knee during that class, and she was teaching that class that week, and I learned about Jesus for the first time in my life from that woman. And I remember the person that taught me how to read. You know, back in the day, I went to first grade. Kids didn't know already how to do that. I remember being anxious about going to school because I didn't know how to read. Well, that was what going to school was all about in my day. You go to school to learn. And I remember this lady, Miss DeMint, who taught me how to read. What if she had never taught me how to read? What if I had never learned how to read? Oh, I'd be at such a loss right now, wouldn't I? And for all of my life, if that had not happened. But more importantly are those that have taught me the faith. More importantly are those men and women and people that took the time to say, well, if you'll listen, I'll tell you what I know. I don't know everything, but I can tell you what I've learned. And you can take that and build on it and go further from there. We are debtors to those that brought us to Christ, to those who helped us mature by teaching us the Word of God. We need to not forget those people. Romans 10, verse 14 reminds us, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. I remember the gospel preachers that preached in those meetings when I was a boy. I remember those men. I remember the lessons on those old bed sheets. I remember their talking long into the night and people listening carefully to what they had to say and went to work the next day and got up the next night and came back to that meeting and sat down in an old church building, you know, with glass, plate glass windows, and we could sit there and listen to the bugs diving into the plate glass windows in the dark because we had a light on in the building and the bugs were attracted. But we heard a lot of gospel too. And I remember people's names that were teaching me that wouldn't mean one single thing to most of you here tonight because they were not anybody that was even known in the kingdom, but they were people that knew the scriptures enough to teach other people what they have taught them. And I have built my life on what those people taught me. And I cannot forget them. I think about them frequently. And the best thing that you can do for anybody is to lead them to Christ and teach them the gospel so they can turn around and lead somebody else to Christ and lead someone else to the gospel and be saved because of the influence that you have had on them. And finally tonight, we need to remember those who left good examples for us. Not necessarily those who sat down and actually took the scriptures and opened them and expounded to us from them. Who actually taught us the words that the book has written on its pages. But those who emulated Christ. Those who learned the truth and then lived that truth in their lives. I think just now of Hebrews 11 and verse 4, which says that by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. There are countless people you've known in your past that though they have been dead a long time, they are still speaking to you. I had a fellow the other day talking to me about his wife. And she passed away about 3 years ago, I suppose, this past February. Or no, this is February. This month, about 3 years ago. And he told me, and he's not losing his mind, I assure you. And I understood exactly what he was trying to say. He said, I still hear her voice every day. I still know exactly what she would have said about this or what she would have said about that. They lived together 65 years. Why wouldn't you remember somebody that you heard say certain things over and over and over and over again? And even though Kenita is dead, she still speaks as far as he's concerned. And there are people in our lives that are that way as well. Abel taught us that faith and pleasing God matters. Didn't he teach us that? You never heard Abel preach a single sermon, but you saw what he did. And from his example, what did we learn from his example? That it matters that if God tells you how to do a certain thing, do it that way and don't try to come up with another way to do it. I think about Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who also left a legacy. She was not a public proclaimer of the word. She wasn't a preacheress or a prophetess. But she anointed the feet of Jesus before he died. There were people that criticized her, but Jesus defended her. And he said this in Matthew 26 and verse 10. He said, why are you bothering this woman? For she has done a good deed to me, anointing his feet. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume upon my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And truly to you I'm saying that wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be spoken in memory of her. And I'm doing that right now. And you're thinking about her right now, though we never met her. We never heard a syllable from her mouth. But we know about her deeds, don't we? Because Jesus immortalized them in these words that we've spoken tonight. What good things do people remember about you? Are there good things that people will remember about you once you're no longer among them? What do you remember about the Christians whom you have known? Oh, I know the ones that get all of our attention are the bad ones, the ones that are always grievous, the ones that are not really trying to do what's right. But for every one of those that I know 10 others who were humble and quiet souls who weren't in the limelight somewhere, but I'll tell you what they were doing. They were living for God and they were living for Jesus every single day in their home and on their job and in their community. And people spoke highly of their morals. And no one ever accused them of some wrongdoing because they were people who lived their faith. And I remember those humble souls. Do you not? Aren't there people that you've known in this church through the years? Those of you who've been here any length of time, or if you've come from some other congregation, weren't there people in that church that exemplified what Christianity was all about? And as a result of that, you said, you know, I can follow that example. That's the kind of woman I want to be. That's the kind of man I want to be. And yet they were not public proclaimers of the Word of God. Well, let me just say as I conclude that though we may forget God, God is not going to forget us. And whether we like it or not, God remembers every detail. I guess that might be unnerving to some of us. I had a child one time who said that he didn't know if he liked God too much because God was a snooper. And the idea of a snooper was somebody that's always aware and got his nose in everybody's business, and he knows what's going on in everybody. Well, he does. This is what being our Creator amounts to. He knows about us. He knows all the good things that we've done. He knows all of the evil things we've done. And he knows our thoughts that no one else knows, but he knows them. He's heard our words. He has seen and continues to see what we do. He remembers things we'd like to forget or act as if they never occurred. Proverbs 15, verse 3 reminds us, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good." God knows every secret. And Romans 2, verse 16 speaks of a day when, according to my gospel, Paul said, God will judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So, God's forgetter doesn't work. Ours works too well, but God doesn't forget. God chooses to not remember those sins which he has remitted, and he does not hold those against us any longer. And he obliterates those from his active memory. And when God forgives, he does not hold us accountable for those things any longer. Hebrews, the 8th chapter and verse 12, gives us the promise that we live under in this new covenant. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God can put out of his mind those things of which we have repented and no longer brings them up and holds them against us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19 says that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. How is it that we can come to the point where God no longer holds our trespasses against us? It's through this message of the gospel of Jesus. Forgiveness takes place when God no longer counts our sins against us, and when we are washed and we are sanctified and when we are justified in Christ Jesus. That's the message of reconciliation. And then we can also be thankful that God never forgets the good that we do. He remembers that forevermore. Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says that God is not unjust so as to forget your work. God is not so unjust as to forget your love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. God takes notice of everything that is done. I tell you, no good deed escapes him. If that's the case, then let me ask you, what's God going to remember about you? What will God recall about you that you may have been willing to forget? Will he remember your sins because you forgot him, or will he remember your good deeds because you repented of your sins and you loved him and you obeyed him? I hope we'll give thought to that, because our God wants us to remember. And certainly these are not the only things about which we could speak tonight that Scripture says we need not forget. If you're here this evening, don't let this moment pass if you're here and not a Christian. To become a Christian, you need to confess faith in Jesus. Well, that's not just a word that comes from your mouth. It's something that involves your will. When you come to the point where you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're saying a mouthful, really. There's just so much involved in that statement, isn't there? That Jesus is God's Messiah. If you've accepted that, if you know that that's what the Bible teaches, and your own examination of what Jesus has done has led you to conclude that he is Savior, then repent of sins. Turn away from wrong. Turn toward God. Let God forgive you by being immersed in water tonight for the forgiveness of sins. And God will take those sins and he will scatter them from you as far as the east is from the west, and never recall those things again. They'll be gone from his record. And if that's something you need to avail yourself of tonight, we're ready to help you with it while together we stand and sing.